Let's take our Bibles and look together in Ezekiel chapter 20. And my text that I'm going to be reading and commenting here is going to be from verse 1 down to verse 26. Ezekiel 20, verse 1 down to verse 26. We'll take this little by little, beginning with verses 1 to 4. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Right here, we see that it's just not anybody can come at any time and make a request to God and think somehow he's going to hear. He's the judge. And particularly here, it says the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord. They were down in Jerusalem. And remember, Ezekiel had already been taken into captivity. Here, he speaks of it in the seventh year. In the fifth month, since he had been removed himself, and the tenth day of the month. So the Lord had taken him out and yet was preserving him alive there in Babylonia, what would be today known as Iraq, in that area. And these down in Jerusalem, the elders, they come to inquire of the Lord, but the Lord knows the hearts. They didn't come to inquire of him to know his will or to even seek mercy in light of the judgments that they were hearing coming from Ezekiel. They came, and the Lord points out their hypocrisy when he says there, As I live, at the end of verse 3, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Are you going to come to me and pretend to really seek my will and my glory when to this point you haven't? In fact, that's why Israel was in trouble. It was these very elders, these leaders, that sought their own glory and not the glory of God. And so the Lord says there in verse 4, in essence, make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Make known to them why it is that God is bringing to pass these judgments. And so here in Ezekiel 20, what we're going to read, and it's really too long to cover in one reading, so we're dividing it up, but we see here a description of the strong denunciation of God against Israel's abominations, not only current, but through history. So what he's going to do here is give them a history lesson. And so there we see that in verses 5 to 7. Say unto them, verse 5, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel. So he's going all the way back to the beginning. And lifted up mine hand under the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. And the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So he goes all the way back to the beginning when he was pleased to send Moses to them and declare unto them that he was Jehovah God. Remember when Moses asked the Lord, well, who shall I say has sent me? He said, I am. Tell him I am has sent you. And the raising of the right hand, it's like what we do in court. If you're ever called into court, they ask you to raise your right hand, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Here, God says, I raise my right hand. Because they were questioning God as to why he was bringing such condemnation. Will you question the judge? So here, it's like he's taking an oath. And we've seen that elsewhere, because he could not swear by any higher than himself. And he swore by himself to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and bring them in the land. It's interesting. You remember Moses sent spies in the land. The reason he sent spies into the land was to prove God's faithfulness. But when they came back, 10 of those 12 said, we can't go. But you see how it's written here in verse 6? The Lord said, I had espied for them. That means he was directing them there to see a land with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. So you can see where this is going, where the Lord uses this argumentation as if he's in court to say, bring out whatever you've got against me, but it's not going to stand because God has been faithful in every way. So verses 8 and 9, here we see God's mercy expressed to Israel's early disobedience. Even though they were disobedient, yet God was merciful. It says, they rebelled against me, verse 8, and would not hearken unto me. They did not, every man, cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that I should not be polluted, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So here we see, a lot of people think, well, God's purpose was thwarted because of Israel's disobedience. It wasn't. God continued to accomplish his purpose with that people, even right now, with Ezekiel, reminding them that the fact that they were not completely destroyed is by for his mercy's sake and for his name's sake. Because he purposed to bring his son through this rebellious people. So therefore, he would not completely destroy them. But nonetheless, he caused his wrath to be poured out upon them. But even with that, they continued in idolatry. Here's a reminder. A lot of people think, boy, if the Lord could just send a storm or turn things upside down, then maybe people would turn to the Lord. Nope. Read your Bible, the history of it. What is the one thing that will cause sinners to turn to the Lord? It's the Spirit that opens the heart of a sinner, causes them to see their sinfulness and turn to Christ. An eternal hell would never be sufficient to cause anybody in hell ever to seek the Lord or to repent. That's not what hell is about. When it talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell, it's not people that are finally, oh, I'm sorry, I see my fault. No, weeping and gnashing of teeth. When people gnash their teeth, they're angry. And what the Lord is saying is that throughout eternity, those he casts into hell, just as they lived and died in rebellion against him, so eternally they will be angry toward him. There's no repentance in hell. Only the Spirit can turn the heart. And so we see that here with regard to these. Though God was merciful, his mercies are renewed every morning upon his creation. And yet, people will remain rebels. They'll continue in their idolatry unless the Lord himself is pleased to open their hearts and turn them to Christ. But the key there in that verse 9 that I read, notice why God does what he does. I wrought for my name's sake. You can question God all you want to, but he does everything for his name's sake. And that's what he reminds them of. So then verses 10 through 17, we see God's mercy at every level. That's what he's doing. It's as if he's presenting a case against Israel. From Egypt, they didn't abandon the idols that they were around there in Egypt. Here in the wilderness, verses 10 through 17, the 40 years that they were in the wilderness, you think, well, that would straighten them out. Nope. They perished. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. People that say, well, I wish God would just let me take a shot at obeying his commandments and then see how I do. Well, you won't do any better than these children of Israel. Here's an example. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths. The word Sabbath means days of rest, but they couldn't even rest on the days of rest. But it was to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. Same thing that was said in bringing them out of Egypt. What's the first thing they did once he brought them out of Egypt? Began to murmur and desire to go back into Egypt. That's why God troubled them, even with the fiery serpents. And now, in the wilderness, throughout those 40 years, I wrought for my name's sake. Underscore that. That's the second time he says it. That it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Remember, Moses intervened one time with the Lord, said, if you kill them all out here, what are the heathen going to say? They're going to say, well, he was unable to fulfill his promise. And so Moses mediated. That's what the Lord's saying here. So that his name would not be maligned among those nations, he preserved them. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Isn't that what idolatry is? The heart going after anything that is not to God's glory. And the word idol begins with the word I. Me, my, and I. That would destroy us. That would be sufficient for God to condemn us were it not for the work of Christ. Nevertheless, verse 17, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. Again, we see God's mercy ruling over all, his faithfulness. If he preserved them, it was for his name's sake and not for any goodness in them. And that's the same thing we can say. If the Lord has been pleased to keep us, save us in Christ, it's for his name's sake, not for anything in us. And then verses 18 through 20, we find God here then appealing to the next generation in the wilderness. So he's going chronologically through, just like you'd present a case in court. Started in Egypt, went into the wilderness. Remember, he destroyed that generation that came out of Egypt, except for those that were 19 years old and younger. And he said, and so here he's appealing to the next generation, verses 18 through 20. I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. A lot of people think, well, if we could just hit the reset button. Well, here was a reset. Taking those children of the children that had come out of Egypt. Now, those children, that's what Deuteronomy is about. Deuto means the second, and nomos means law. So the second time, Moses stood up and gave the same law. That's what he's saying. I gave them my statutes and so showed them my judgment to the children. And yet, what do we see here? Verses 21 to 24. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. You can take children and raise them up in the Word, read them the Scriptures, and teach them God's commandments, all of this, but they're still going to be rebels. Here again, it's not how you frame and protect people or children, you know, from evil. Evil's in here. It's in the heart. We come forth from the womb speaking lies, is the way the Scriptures put it. So there again, unless God is pleased by his mercy to grant his Spirit, and you say, well, why didn't he just grant his Spirit to all of these? Because he's God. He's purposed who he will save, and he's purposed who he will condemn. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 22, nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake. There it is again the third time. That it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I should scatter them among the heathen and disperse them throughout or through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. What's he talking about there? You want to live in idolatry? All right, I'll bring you in under idolatry. And that's really what he's reminding them of. The reason he's bringing them into Babylon is because he's going to show them what it is to live under an idolatrous rule. And notice in verse 26, he says, and I polluted them in their own gifts. This is a God of judgment. So often he'll take and he'll condemn or punish people with their very own sin. That's what he's talking about, that in that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know what? That I am the Lord. So we're going to pause there in the reading of God's word. He shows himself faithful to what he says. If there's any unfaithfulness, then it's in us. It's in those he condemns. But what we're seeing here is that even in judgment, there is mercy. God remembers mercy for those that he's purposed to deliver. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, how we need it, how we need to be reminded just how evil we are, and prone to wander, even as we sang, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love. That's why we need you to take these hearts, take and seal them to your courts above. So I pray that as we continue our time of worship, you'd truly turn our hearts away from ourselves, away from any thought of vainglory in ourselves, and cause us to look full in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and find mercy and grace there. We give you the praise in Christ's precious name. Amen.